Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Fill our hearts with love for you. When we couldn't do anything for ourselves, you did everything for us. And more than that, Father God, you gave us your only Son to give us eternal life. Our response to you, Lord, is to truly love you. Not to love you the way the world loves you, but to love you the way Jesus loves us. So now, Lord, come. Let your Spirit have his way in our hearts. Create in us that special, special love for you, so that when we leave this place, we can truly say not only that we love you, but that we adore you. Not only that we adore you, but we are devoted to you. Not only are we devoted to you, Lord, but we are obedient to you. Not only are we obedient to you, Lord, but we honor you. Not only that we honor you, Lord, but we exalt you. Father, we need you, and you are here, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If your heart is filled with praise, come on and say amen. Amen, amen, amen. The time is coming soon when the last song would have been sung. Do you realize that? When the last service would have been done. And I want to say, but when that day comes, that I have done everything I know to love my Lord. How about you? Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. The topic of today's message is Valentine's love versus God's love. Valentine's love versus God's love. You know, there was a man one time that wanted to prove to his wife that women talked more than men. And so he showed her an article where the person said that men only spoke 15,000 words a day and women spoke 30,000 words a day. And so the woman, without missing a beat, replied, "That's because we have to repeat everything we say to you." And to that, the man answered, "What?" Valentine's love versus God's love. The story is told about a young girl who ran away from home and got married. This made her father very, very angry, and he determined that he was never, ever going to speak to her again. She wrote him many letters begging for his forgiveness, but he did not answer, not even one. And so, as time went on, the story goes that this daughter had a son. And as the son got a little older and was able to kind of go around for himself, she decided one day that, you know what? I'm not going to write my dad any more letters. I'm going to send him my son. My son will be a living letter. When he sees my son, hopefully he will remember me and accept my son and forgive me. So the day came when she went to the father's house and sent her son to the door. And she says, when he answers the door, all I want you to do is put your arms around him and give him a big kiss on his neck and tell him who you are. And so the little boy went in and did that, and it melted that poor man's heart. And right away he beckoned his daughter to come, and he hugged her, and he says, "I forgive you." Josh McDowell, he says that the two greatest fears people struggle with today are the fear that they will never be loved and the fear that they will never be able to love. He continues, people are seeking meaningful, intimate, and lasting relationships. He says, I don't believe we've had a sexual revolution. Rather, I believe we have experienced a revolution in search of intimacy. Valentine's love versus God's love. And we live in a world today where this word love is such a loose word. Now, we still live in a world where one person can make a big difference. Amen? And I want our young people to make that big difference in somebody's life. Praise be to God. Because that's what we are all about. That's what the church is all about. That's why we come together as a church to support each other, to organize ourselves, to be the best group and the best ministries to a world that is in need of true love. Amen? So I pray that what we do together, how we meet together, and how we come, that we will come with the right attitude for God. Amen? I'm telling you because, you know, God has done so much for us. And when you think about God's amazing love, you don't have time to think about yourself. All you have time to do is just say, Lord, I'm just amazed with your love. And I just want to give whatever I can to you. Amen? God is an awesome God, everybody. And we tend to kind of, you know, we've downgraded God into our image. But he came and he sent Jesus Christ so that we can be restored into his image. Amen? You know, we talked about last Wednesday night that God is not just the God of this world. He's the God of the universe. Amen? And let me just kind of help you with that picture. Let's suppose that every single pew in this church represented one of the galaxies in the universe. How many galaxies are there? There are literally billions of galaxies. Okay? And our galaxy, the Milky Way, our solar system, you know, we have billions of solar systems just in our one galaxy. And in our solar system, we have the Earth, we have the planets, we have the different moons, okay? And let's just say that this represented our galaxy right here, just this one galaxy, and billions of other solar systems. Well, who controls those solar systems? God does. But not only the billions of solar systems in our galaxy, he controls all the billions of solar systems in this galaxy. And in those billions of solar systems, there are other planets. There are other life forms. There are other beings there. And in the same way that we have to depend on God for the next breath, they have to depend on God for the next breath too. The same way that we worship God, they worship God too. But the earth is the only place where sin exists in all the universe. Amen? So when we pray to God, when we sing to God, when we worship God, we're not just worshiping a God of one solar system governing one earth. We are worshiping and singing and praising and adoring a God of the entire universe. Amen? So let your praise not be based upon who's up front, not be based upon what song is being sung, not be based upon just how you feel that day. Let your praise be based upon who God truly is. The fact that he would let us, a falling race, a fallen people, to even acknowledge him as God, to speak to him, when all the other universe have a perfect language, perfect mind, perfect environment in which to praise God. We're the only one where dirt exists. We're the only one where pollution exists. We're the only one where foul language and perversion and killings and violence exist. But yet, that same God says, I'm sending my one and only son just for you. Amen? And my Bible tells me that the son that he sent to us, the Bible says he created all things. Amen? Everything. That means all the galaxies, all those billions of galaxies, who created it? Come on, say Jesus. That's the one that was sent to us. He created all those billions of galaxies. They know him as the supreme God and Lord, their creator. And then Jesus says, he announced to all the universe, I'm sending my one and only son to the Milky Way galaxy and to one of the solar systems in that Milky Way galaxy and to one planet. And he will no longer be like you know him. He's not going to be able to be everywhere at the same time. I'm going to take him and I'm going to put him in the womb of a teenager, a virgin, and he will save and rescue and bring back people who want to spend eternity with me so you can see them again. That's the God we serve. So that's why we got to forget about ourselves, concentrate on him, and worship him. Amen. I'm telling you, saints, we're living in a wicked world. And God says we ought to be in the world, but not of the world. And most of us, I'm telling you, I'm calling it as it is, most of us, we spend too much time with worldly things. Most of us, we have our favorite TV programs. We have our favorite songs. And most of us, we can spend hours in front of a television program. We will get all these different gadgets and appliances that will tape several programs all at the same time. Amen? We will do that. But yet, few of us will come to Sabbath school. Few of us will come to prayer meeting. Just for 1 hour. 1 hour. But yet we got to sit there. Can't miss it. The office is coming on. Oh, law and order. I want to see what happens next. And, you know, the TV program, they know that people are curious. People are in search. And they want to know. We live in an information age. And now you have these programs back to back to back to back to back. And you can sit there and watch literally for 4 hours and not even think about it. Valentine's love or God's love? That's what God wants. He sent his son to put his arms around us and kiss us, to love us, clean us up, forgive us of our sins, and to save us and give us eternal life. That's the God we serve. Amen? So stop thinking of God in the way other people think of him and think of him the way he has presented himself in his word. He loves you. He loves you. As the Bible says, he left the billions of other galaxies and worlds out there and he came after that one. And you know what, young people? If you were the only person in this world that had sinned, the only person that had taken the forbidden fruit, Jesus would have died just for you. Amen? He would have died just for you. Do you love God? Do you really love Him? How much do you love Him? Last week we talked about, who remember the title of the message last week? Huh? Yeah. Will the real witness stand up? And what did we say the word witness means? Come on, what do we say the word witness is? The word witness, the literal meaning is the word martyr. That's where we get that's where the word witness comes from, the Greek word martus. And that's where we get the word martyr from. So are you a witness for Jesus? Are you a witness for Jesus? Okay? Now, are you living like a witness for Jesus? Are you? Did you sing today like a witness for Jesus? Did you sing like you're willing to die for Jesus? Where was your mind when the singing was going on, when the time was allocated to give praise and glory to God? Where was your mind? Where were you? When the church was in worship and praise, where were you? Are you a witness for God? Where are you now? Amen? Come on now, saints. This stuff is real. And when we leave this place, what are we leaving to do? Going back to our old ways? Are we truly allowing the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh upon us right now? Are we truly hungry for God? So that this week coming up, we can truly be a strong and powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? And we can rewrite our destiny and know it's only to the glory of God. There's a whole lot of Valentine's love going around today. Isn't there? Everybody's feeling all bubbly and everything else. You know. But there's a difference between Valentine's love and God's love. Amen? And I want us to get God's love. There's nothing wrong with buying roses. Nothing wrong on, you know, on Valentine's Day. Men, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? God says be in the world, but not of the world. Praise be to God. I don't have to have the Valentine's love to buy roses for my husband, my wife. Amen. I was speaking as, you know. You understand. Right. But we got to know what the true meaning of God's love is. Valentine's love is based upon infatuation. Infatuation is defined as an extravagant passion or attraction, or a foolish, unreasoning type of attraction. Let me read it again. Infatuation can be defined as an unreasoning, extravagant, or foolish passion or attraction. Infatuation is not real. As a matter of fact, infatuation is based upon certain hormones that is released into our brain, where individuals have this kind of a bubbly and feeling, this feeling of falling in love, this experience of feeling that wow, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and it's not based on anything real. It's just something bubbly inside. Infatuation is what our media is filled with. And the more we watch it, is the more we become like it. That's why the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And I could imagine when Paul wrote to Timothy and told him all the different things that will be in the church in the last days, Timothy must have said, wow, how can that be? How can that be? Well, God gave Paul a glimpse of what our world would be like today. Because by beholding, you become changed. Amen. You become like that which you look at, that which you listen to. I want to say to our young people, there's nothing wrong with being cool. There's nothing wrong with, you know, even speaking Ebonics. Okay? But don't let that stop you from knowing how to speak real English and how to spell properly. Now, if you have the gift where you can do both, God bless you. But if you have problems with spelling and you have problems with pronouncing correct words and the definitions of correct words, you better put that Ebonics aside and learn how to speak properly so that when you go for an interview, you can get that job. I'm for real. We live in a world today, young people, that when you go to school and you speak proper English, everybody want to shy you and think you're a snob. You're a nerd. Well, let them think that. Because you only got 4 years with them. All right? After the 4 years, who's going to look like a nerd? With his pants dragging down. Huh? Can't even talk. Don't have a job. Either getting people pregnant or becoming pregnant. Stay focused. Learn to speak properly. Learn to dress properly. We got to be even careful that we as adults, that we set the right example. There's nothing wrong with, you know, dressing down. Nothing wrong with that. But let them see you also that you know how to dress good. You know how to present yourself. Amen? God wants us to be the head and not the tail. And there, you know, this Valentine's love is filled with what I called popular sexual myths. One of those myths is that people can't help falling in love. It's possible to be attracted to somebody at first sight, isn't it? Come on, isn't it? It's true. But that's not love. I don't care how she looks, how she sounds, how he looks, or how he sounds. Okay. True love is not based upon selfish needs or selfish desires. All right? And I'm not only talking about those who are seeking to get into a relationship. It doesn't make a difference whether you are in a relationship or not in a relationship. Because the reality is, how you love and how you receive love, you pass it on to other people. And the reason why we have a generation today that really are making more babies out of wedlock than any other time in the world is because not of them, is because of us, the adults who produced them. We are the ones who allowed Hollywood to raise them. We're the ones who created the appetite where even they can't, you know, even the nutritional appetite where kids today don't even eat properly. And if you don't eat properly, you don't have any what we call brain food. If you don't have any brain food, how in the world can you think properly? How can you concentrate? We're the one that produced that as adults. And young people, if you don't like the state of the church, if you think the church could do better in what it does, if you think that there are better ways in which we can attract more people to God, then you need to take a second look on how you're living right now. Amen? All right, but you gotta take a second look, young people. You gotta design, and you have got to map out the future for this church. Another popular sexual myth is that people have to have sex. You can't help it. But last time I checked, nobody ever died from not having sex. Sex before marriage and sex with partners other than your spouse is a design of the devil to literally break the family up. It is. If you have a weak family unit, on several weak family units, you have a weak society. Okay? And this is the fallacy that many people are falling for. Many people. All right, let's say I'm a young guy, 17 years old, 18 years old, you know, and I'm a product of my society, right? So I, you know, I have sexual appetites based upon what I watch, right? Okay. And therefore, if I see a girl that I like, she looks good, she looks like something I've been watching, and now I'm not just watching it, I can see the real thing, I can touch it. Well, what is natural for me can also be very unspiritual for me, right? So I go make my moves, right? Got my lines and everything all worked out. She's also looking for love. She has a father that didn't pay her any attention. She has a mother hardly said, "I love you." So she's searching for love. So I smell good. I talk cool. And then I say, "Hey, what you doing this evening? Let's hang out together." And she like, "Me?" Right? And that's how the scenario plays out. And she feels all bubbly inside and says, "Wow, somebody loves me. Somebody's paying attention to me." And then for the next several days and hours of those days, all she can think about is me. And she's writing in her diary. She's daydreaming. She's calling and talking to her friends all about me. Now, after I leave her, am I thinking about her? Absolutely not. I'm thinking about the other person. Yeah. But then when I meet her again, I make her feel like she's the world to me. And before you know it, we're holding hands. Before you know it, we're sitting down. She's putting her head on my shoulder. Before you know it, man, she, you know, and I give her a little something to symbolize that I love her. And she puts it on a chain and raises it around her neck. She puts a little ring on her finger. She just feels so good. And I feel good that she feels good. Because what I want is not what she wants. What I want is to express the testosterone hormone inside of me. That's all. I got this urge and I need to release it. It's almost like an itch. And so I'm making my moves, and we go from holding hands to kissing. We go from kissing to touching in all the wrong places. And before you know it, she misses school one day because she missed her period. And as soon as I get that news, I'm not even going to ask, is it mine? I'm going to say, that ain't mine. See? And that's the kind of world we live in. Why? Why is that stuff? Why does it happen to us? And listen, if you ever got into an experience where you had a child out of wedlock, or you had relationships out of wedlock and sex out of wedlock, don't look down on yourself. It's not what you did in the past, it's where you are right now. Amen? And too many of us, we have our hang-ups. We have all the stuff that happened, and we live in the past, and all the past is, all, you know, is present with us. You made mistakes. Hey, mistakes can be corrected. Amen? Next popular sexual myth that's going around today. It kind of goes right in what I just talked about. It says people think if you've already had sex before marriage, that your life is ruined. There's such a thing as forgiveness. There's such a thing as repentance. Amen? And the reality is this, just like the woman who was, you know, in the Bible that was caught in adultery, what did Jesus Christ say to her? Was he picking up stones to condemn her? No. And neither should we. But what did he say? He just said, go and sin no more. A simple, simple command. You've sinned. You've been forgiven. You've repented. Now go and sin no more. And one thing about Jesus' words, if you believe them, they will have power to accomplish that which it says. Are you with me? He's not telling that person to go and in their own strength not to sin anymore. His words are words that are powerful. They're words that create, and they're words that makes something where there is nothing. Amen? So when he tells you, go and sin no more, the power to go and sin no more is in the command. All you have to do is believe it, and it happens. Praise be to God. Now this popular sexual myth is everybody's doing it. And that's what the movies will make you think. Amen? When was the last time that you saw on TV two people making out that were husband and wife? Yep. People, someone laughed at that. It's true. That's something, you know, it's like, wow, that's so unheard of. Someone told me the other day that they even have this new reality show that teaches you how to cheat on your spouse. Yeah. That's the kind of society we're living. And I'm telling you, if you're a person that cannot go throughout one day without watching TV, you got to be careful. You got to ask yourself the question, am I truly of the world or am I of God? Amen? Yeah. What kind of music you listen to? Is it godly music or worldly music? Right, that's it. You know, we're talking about love. And the only way that we can increase love in the church is to leave worldly love alone. Amen. And it's so available. It's so there. It's just one click away. Amen. You know, adults, some of you adults, some of we adults, we've never even used a computer before. We don't even know all the stuff our young people are exposed to. You know, I heard this story about this woman trying to solve problems with her computer, and she called the tech support, and he said to her, okay, I want you to right-click. And she said, okay, I did that. And he said to her, okay, what do you see? Do you see a menu pop up? She says, no. He says, okay, right-click again. And he says, okay, I did it. Now, do you see a menu pop up on the screen? She goes, no. On case, all right, tell me what you just did. And she says, you told me to right-click, and I wrote click. That's why when it comes to setting up phones and, yeah, some of you just getting it. I know. That's why our young people, were raised in a technological age, in an information age. We have got to even try to tell some of our kids, you know what? The only way you're using the computer today is to do a school assignment. Matter of fact, we're going on a fast this week where you're not even going to use the computer at all except to do schoolwork. That's okay to do. The child is not going to die. It's a good discipline. Because our young people today, you know, when I was raised, I had a black and white TV that had two channels. Okay? And yet, my mom, she took the TV out. Just two channels. We didn't watch TV that much. She took it out. One time, she had to cut the cord. We would sneak and find out where she put it right back, and, you know, and watch it, and put it where she hid it. Everybody's doing it. That's a everybody's lie. Amen? God's love is based on, let's turn to Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. It says here, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You ever had a person who said that, I can't come to Christ right now. I can't give my life to Christ right now because my life is not good. I need to stop doing this and stop doing that before I give my life to Christ. You ever heard that before? You ever heard somebody who say, I'm not ready to give my life to Christ? You ever heard that before? You know, I'm not ready. Why do you think Jesus Christ came? Why do you think he died for you? Because you were not ready. He died so that he can come into your life to make you ready. Amen? If you can get ready without Jesus, you don't need Jesus. Come on and say amen. If you can stop doing certain things before you can give your life to Jesus Christ, you don't need him. Amen? It's like, you know, this this, you know, we even live in a world where the world teaches us how to practice bad habits, you know, and you have well, I'm not even going to go there. All right, but the reality is we got to do it God's way. Amen. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. All right. And we have the word begotten son. That's a mistranslation. The word is one and only son. The creator. He gave him. That is true love. True love is love that we give to other people without expecting anything in return. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, became a baby in a teenager's womb, had to be born as a helpless baby, that's the creator of the world. Do you realize that he was not able to see beyond that? Do you realize that? He did not know when he made that decision to go and become a zygote in a womb. He did not know what will happen after that. He subjected himself to the same limitations that we have. He didn't know. That's how much he loves you. He didn't know if he was going to be successful doing it. It has never happened before. But he was obedient to the plan. Amen? And the same power of obedience that he exercised, he gives us that power to exercise. Praise be to God. And we have to remember we have an enemy. Who is that enemy? Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says there, it says, be sober. Be vigilant. That's watchful, alert. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Everything God sets up to build you and make you and heal you and strengthen you, the devil will come in a deceiving way to try to tear it down. We have an enemy. We must recognize him and not allow him to undo what God does. And if we find ourselves that somehow we stopped looking at God and looked to worldly things and the devil was able to trap us, the Bible says all you got to do is confess your sins and he will be faithful. He'll be justified and he will forgive you of your sins. He's the only person that has the power to forgive you. Come on and say amen. Praise be to God. How much do you love God? How much do you love God? Do you realize your love for God is equal to the love you have for the person you love the least? Do you realize that? Who do you love the least? I'm talking about people you know. I'm talking about people you hang out with, you see, whether in the workplace, whether even in your home, your school, your church. Who do you love the least? Well, that's how much you love God. Yeah. Jesus says this, and as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. You know what a barrel is, don't you? What is a barrel made of? It's made of several strips of wood, isn't it? That's banded together so tight, it's leak-proof. How filled is your barrel of love? Your barrel of love only filled up to the shortest strip of that barrel. If all the strips of the barrel were the total length and one strip was half the length, how filled is your barrel? How filled is it? Come on, how filled is it? Half filled. You know why we sometimes struggle with loving God? Because God says, you can't say you love me and not love your brother. It's impossible. It's so easy to work for God. It's so easy to be busy for God without truly loving God. Amen. Be not mocked. God is not fooled. Galatians 6 says, verse 7, whatsoever you sow, so shall you reap. My prayer is that we will focus on what true love is and give ourselves truly and honestly to God. Because when God gives us a love, that love is not love until it is given away. Amen? And when you can truly, truly love your enemies, sometimes you can turn your enemies into your friends. Amen? So let's go the extra mile. If nobody gives you flowers, give somebody else flowers. Because true love is about giving. A little six-year-old boy decided one day that one Valentine's morning, as a matter of fact, that he was going to surprise his parents by fixing them breakfast. So early in the morning, he got up, excited, went into the kitchen, got out this bigger bowl and the mixing spoon, and went to the cabinet, got a chair, and got the big box of pancake mix, and it was kind of heavy, and it fell out of his hands and fell onto the floor, made a big mess. But he was able to scoop up as much as he can in his little hands and put it in the bowl. And he got the other little ingredients, the sugar, and he got the milk, and he put it in there, and he mixed it, and there's a big old mess on the floor, powder, flour all over the place, and the little kitten came in and started licking it and walking all over it, and the little boy was realizing things are not going quite right. It doesn't look like it's right, but he wanted to give something to his parents because he loved them, and so he tried to clean up a little bit of the mess, and as he was cleaning up the mess, he saw the little kitten go into the bowl and started licking his mix. And he says, oh, and he went away to shoo the little kitten away, and as he shooed the kitten away, he spilt the milk, and the eggs fell to the floor, and oh, what a big mess. And as he was trying to clean that up, so stressed now and just frantic about how everything is turning out, he's slipping and sliding, and before you know it, he's pajamas are all covered with eggs and milk and flour. Right then, his dad walked into the kitchen. And the poor little boy just stood there, tears in his eyes. He wanted to do something to show his love, just did not turn out right. As a matter of fact, the more he tried, the bigger mess he made. And the dad, he didn't scold him. He kind of assessed the situation and he saw really what was going on. And he went down on his knees, got his pajamas messy with eggs, flour, and milk. And he held his little boy. That's how God deals with us, isn't it? In life, sometimes we do our best. Sometimes life gets sticky. Sometimes we find ourselves saying things and doing things that hurt people. Sometimes we will mess even the best situation up. Sometimes we just sit there like that little boy and think there's absolutely nothing we can do. But what does God do? He goes to us with love. He forgives us, even meaning if it means getting the mess all over him. But just because we messed up, it doesn't mean we just keep on messing up. Amen? We still put our best foot forward. We still try to make pancakes for Jesus. What do you say? Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, we have two choices. We have Valentine's love, which stands for the world's love, or we have your love. Thank you for loving us. Most of us only live to around our 70s. And in some cultures, it's even just the 60s. Time is running out for some of us. And even today, young people wonder if they'll ever make their 30th birthday. But even though life is so fragile, so confusing, so complicated, sometimes so filled with chaos, you put everything into reaching out to us to rescue us. Give us your love. Forgive us of our sins. Clean us up. And to give us your precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we need you. We need your love. Not just as a love that comes to us, but a love that operates in us. And on this, Lord, what we call Valentine's weekend, may we get the true love, God's love. And may we give ourselves that love. May we give the ones that we love that love. May we give our friends, even our enemies, that love, that self-sacrificing love, that divine love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for any person in here that's struggling with the true meaning of love. I pray, Father God, that you will help not just them, help me. I put myself in that picture because we're all in the same boat. Help, Lord, us. Help us. Help us to let go of Valentine's love, the world's love. The world's love includes hate. The world's love includes revenge. The world's love has an attitude. The world's love don't care. The world's love only loves when you can get something back in return. We don't want that love. We want true love. And if there's someone here that's getting love from the wrong place, Lord, let them realize your love is way better. I know you've accepted them. Open their eyes to see their, your arms are open wide, that they are forgiven. And they're accepted into the family of God. Maybe somebody's struggling with habits and addictions and bad habits, Lord. And they wonder, would I ever be able to start afresh? let that person know, those individuals know, Lord, yes, they can. Because you are a God of fresh starts. You are a God, no matter how many times we have sinned and how many times we have fallen, that you can pick us up and clean us up. Somebody, Lord, needs you right now. Somebody has this deep yearning for you right now. What you do for them right now, Father God, will make all the difference in the world. Please help that person so that today will be a brand new day for them, a new beginning that will lead into tomorrow and lead into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And they will exercise all those days the same commitment and the same longing that they're exercising right now. And that next Sabbath, that they can come back to say thank you. And right now, in the middle of this prayer, Lord, I want to say, Father, I love you. I'm not just saying it, but I've, Lord, received Jesus' love in my heart to give back to you. And if you want to join me in saying that, just tell God that right now, whether you want to raise your hand, whether you want to stand, whether you want to say a prayer to him right now, but just express your love to him and your decision to say, Lord, I love you. There's nothing I will not do for you. I love you. I'm not going to put my life in the center of it. I'm going to put you in the center of it. Thank you. Isn't it so beautiful to feel that love flowing through your heart? Doesn't it make a difference? Doesn't it make you see better? Doesn't it make you make the past look like it doesn't even exist anymore? When you have that Jesus love inside of you, doesn't it just warms you and gives you that enduring strength to realize, I was made for more than this. I was made a son and a daughter of God. And that's what he wants you to experience. So may the blessings of God never leave you. And may you always experience, as you stay connected to Jesus, God's love, his never-ending love. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.